God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 34 to 37, as previously read. In the name of Jesus, who is our good shepherd, dear fellow redeemed, just for a minute, I want you to think about what you might consider to be your greatest challenge in life. I mean, maybe it's something you've always wanted to do or something you're trying desperately to avoid. Maybe it's something that's you might consider a physical challenge. You're trying to lose 10 pounds or you need to find a new job or you want to finally move into your own house. Or maybe your biggest challenge in life is not really physical, it's spiritual. It's this internal battle that's going on between good and evil. During these days of the coronavirus, you're struggling to maintain a positive attitude. You're working hard not to slide back into kind of self-destructive behavior. Or maybe it's not a physical or a spiritual struggle. It's more an emotional struggle. You're feeling anxious and worried about what's going to happen. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to your family? What things are you going to not be able to enjoy because of the virus? We all face challenges of one form or another. And sometimes those challenges can seem just plain overwhelming, bigger than we can handle. In our study of God's Word today, we meet a man who also faced a challenge in his life. I mean a big challenge. Call it a giant challenge. I mean like literally a giant was standing in front of that shepherd boy named David. You think we have challenges in life? How about a 9-foot military giant, armed to the hilt, determined to take your head off and feed your carcass to the vultures? I'd call that a physical, spiritual, and emotional challenge all wrapped in one. And yet, here's the thing. David knew that he had at his side someone who was going to help him fell that giant. And the same thing is still true for you and me today. This morning we want to draw some parallels between what David was going through and what we're going through in our lives. And as we do that, we want to remember that in Scripture, David was often referred to as a type of Christ. In other words, in many ways, David foreshadowed what the Messiah would do and be. In fact, that's one of the reasons why this account of David and Goliath is included as one of the readings for Good Shepherd Sunday. We see here that the actions of this shepherd remind us of the actions of another shepherd, the perfect shepherd, Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. And so today we want to do more than just draw a parallel between, you know, the challenges in our lives and the challenges in David's life, but also look ahead to the challenges in Jesus' life. The ones that he overcame perfectly. The giants that he felled that were bigger than even Goliath. You see, because Jesus was victorious, so are we. In fact, that's our theme for today. The shepherd of the sheep overcomes. Now, a couple of months ago, I asked you to think about what are some challenges in your life, and we kind of broke them down into physical, spiritual, and emotional challenges. I want you to think about those a minute. First, physical challenges. By that I mean maybe tasks that you know need to be done. I don't know, maybe for you the biggest challenge in your life is making your bed every single day, or doing the dishes every night, or making sure your homework is done to the best of your ability. Or maybe the challenges are bigger than that. Maybe the physical challenge in your life is to get out of debt, pay off all the credit cards, start a new career, finally fill out that will. Sometimes those challenges seem too big to handle. Tell me, you think David ran into any of those tasks that he knew were big, that maybe he was convinced needed to be done? Well, in the verses before our text for today, we hear how this giant Goliath would come out every day and taunt the armies of Israel. He would blaspheme the true God. And when David came for the first time to meet his brothers and then heard Goliath saying all these things, what did David say? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? You hear what David is saying? He's saying, hey, who's going to do this? Somebody's got a job to do here. This giant is defying our God. No matter how big, no matter how bad he is, somebody's got to take him down. And when nobody else would step forward, what did David say to King Saul? Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant, namely David, will go and fight him. And make no mistake, David wasn't doing this for earthly gain. He was doing this for the sake of God's name and to rescue God's people. Does that sound at all familiar? Wasn't that exactly what motivated Jesus to carry out an even bigger task? For the sake of God's name, for the sake of God's plan, for the sake of God's people, Jesus carried out a greater task. He stepped forward and said, in effect, not my will, but yours be done, Father. He said, as David said, let no one lose heart, for in effect, I will crush the serpent's head. My friends, you see why in a number of places in Scripture, God refers to the coming Messiah as His servant David. In Ezekiel chapter 34, for example, we read, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will place over them, namely over Israel, one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. My servant David will be prince among them. Now understand, those words were spoken years after King David was dead and buried. The David that God is referring to here is a descendant of King David, the greatest descendant. This is the one born in the town of David. God is drawing a connection between that Old Testament David and this New Testament David, who would take on an even greater task to rescue not just Israel from a giant, but all mankind from sin and Satan. And yet, if you think about it, the challenge that David faced was not only a physical one, there was also a spiritual challenge. And the same thing is true for you and me as well. Maybe the greatest challenge in your life is an internal one. It's that struggle against good and evil. Maybe in the stress and isolation of this pandemic, you're tempted to reach for a bottle or try to escape into the internet. You're wrestling with worry and doubts. You realize you're sliding into some behavior that's harmful to the people around you. Tell me, you think David experienced any of those same emotions? Absolutely. Remember, the two armies that were lined up against each other in the Valley of Elah represented more than just two secular nations. They represented two cultures, two different religions. The god of the Philistines was Dagon. And the Philistines worshipped him by offering human sacrifices and engaging in sexual immorality. The God of David was Jehovah, the one who had given 10 commandments that prevented, that condemned such behavior. Both sides saw this as at least in part a spiritual war. That's why Goliath, when David comes out, Goliath says to him, this Philistine cursed David by his gods. It'd be a little like the extremist Islam terrorists crying out, Elohu Allah Akbar! Allah is great! As they flew their planes into the Twin Towers on 9/11. They recognized this was a jihad. So did Goliath. Goliath cursed David by his gods. On the other hand, David, when he confronts Goliath, says, what? I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Both combatants recognized that their fight was at least in part a spiritual one. So, who won the battle of good and evil? You know, with one well-positioned rock launched by a slingshot, David drilled the giant between the eyes. And the big guy fell like a sack of potatoes. And then David took his sword and administered the coup de grace. And then announced for all to see, your enemy is now dead. Just like that, this unknown shepherd boy, the one who had actually already been anointed as king, the one who had been ridiculed by his brothers, had now become the triumphant one, the one who took the place of Israel, who was their substitute, and won the victory for them. Again, does that sound at all familiar? You see why Scripture called David a type of Christ? What David did for his countrymen is what Jesus has done for us. He went into battle in our place. By his perfect life, he defeated every single one of Satan's temptations. By his death on the cross, he took away Satan's ability to accuse us of sin because we are forgiven. And by his resurrection, he's announced that he's won the victory over the grave itself. Now the question is, how do those victories that Jesus has won help us win the spiritual battle against sin in our lives? Well, look at it this way. When Jesus defeated the devil, he made us all victorious. How does St. Paul put it? If God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's a little like the effect that David's victory had on Israel. I mean, when David felled the giant, did all the other soldiers suddenly go, "Oh no, we're going to get whipped by the Philistines"? No, it was exactly the opposite, right? They were suddenly filled with courage. They knew, man, we've got the upper hand. And they went firing out after those Philistines, saying, as David said, "The battle is the Lord's." Isn't the same thing true for you and me? When Jesus won the victory over Satan, he won it for us. That means when Satan comes at us and tries to drag us back into the dark pit of sin and evil, we can say, wait a minute. Satan, you're dead. Jesus decapitated you. You can't tell me what to do anymore. You are not my Lord. Jesus is. Jesus has made me a new creation. And that means now I can live as the new person that Christ has recreated me to be. When it comes to the spiritual battles that we face in life, now we can say with St. Paul, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Jesus empowers us in our spiritual battles as well. But then again, maybe it's not so much a physical challenge or a spiritual challenge that you're running into. Maybe it's really an emotional challenge. Let's face it, this coronavirus thing has got a lot of us kind of on edge. We're feeling anxious, feeling uncertain, feeling a kind of a fear of a dread. I read recently, somebody posted on Facebook about how she was having so many nightmares. And I was amazed by how many people jumped in and said the very same thing. Oh, no kidding. It's as if the worrying that we're doing in the day is now spilling over into the night. When people worry about what's going to happen, when they worry about their health, when they worry about their family, when they worry about their loved ones, they worry about their job, it's not surprising that they experience a certain amount of emotional distress. Well, again, don't you think that David would have had reason to experience some of those same emotions? I mean, here he is standing before Goliath, this professional military machine, I mean, the equivalent of like an M1 tank. And David is holding what? A few rocks? I don't think the odds are in his favor. Except David wasn't trusting in his rocks. He wasn't trusting in his arm or his slingshot. He was trusting in his God. He said, when Saul said to David, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy." What did David say? "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." My friends, those are the words of a man of faith. A man who knew what God had done for him in the past and who trusted what God would do for him in the future. Those are the words of a man who also wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Tell me that when David wrote those words, he was not thinking about this valley, the valley of Elah, the valley of the shadow of death, where he's standing in the shadow of a giant. He faced death, and yet he clung to that precious truth. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Isn't the same thing still true for you and me? We don't know how many challenges in life we'll face. We don't know how many giants we're still going to confront. But we know this. We know we have a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. A shepherd who has won the victory over sin and Satan and death. And because Jesus, the good shepherd, has overcome, in the end, so will we. In Jesus' name, amen.